Though we often think of this as also part of Christmas, in truth, while the important lessons and information that we learn here in this story of the wise men coming to see Jesus had something to do with Christmas, it did not happen on Christmas. It happened quite some time later. As you'll notice, if you pay careful attention, Jesus is not in a manger anymore in this story. And the word used to describe him is a young child, not a little baby. He's somewhere between maybe 6 months or so and 2 years, somewhere in there. So it's been a couple of months after Christmas. But we read the story then, Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his gospel to us today. May we understand it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have come, and we pray that as we look at these words, familiar story perhaps, well, sometimes we have injected into the truth of history various traditions and ideas and sights and sounds from artists who've imagined what may have happened and polluted our minds with those false images, from even precious songs that we sing that sometimes embellish and add things that are not accurate. Help us to pay attention to your word, to understand what you have designed for us from the very beginning, and to see Jesus today on this Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a world that's full of exciting entertainment, and this has its effects on us, which are actually not always very positive. All sorts of people, Christians and non-Christians, have documented the fact that our attention spans are shrinking all the time. Our ability to focus without being distracted by some buzz or some vibration or some beep or alert, it's extremely difficult. All those things have off buttons, but we somehow don't pay attention to that reality. Now that our phones are so smart, we have become quite dumb. We don't have to remember somebody's phone number. We don't have to memorize the Bible. We can look it up. There's an app for that. In our world of fast-paced special effects, watching some of those old classic movies can actually be quite boring. They move so slow from scene to scene. We want to be entertained, shocked, surprised every 1.3 seconds or less than that. Well, God sent His only Son into the world, a world that was very similar, spiritually speaking. The ancient Roman world of the first ever Christmas did not have Facebook or Twitter, Kindles or iPads. But it had people who were so numb to the eternal truth that they needed a sign to wake them up. God gave the shepherds a sign while they were watching their flocks by night. As the angels appear, shouting, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There's another sign that God gave that we read in our passage. Another sign that God gave to wake up a world asleep, lost in its misery and sin, and that's the sign of the Christmas star. The wise men saw the star and they were led to Bethlehem. God gives you and I in our modern world the same sign today, not some star we might have seen last night, but the star that was seen, and we have the record of it in God's Word we've read this morning and can read at any time on our smartphones or anywhere else. This Christmas star is God's sign to us, sign that we are to be searching for our Christmas Savior. It is His star. Our Savior is the one that we are to find. The Savior is the one who lights up the dark world. The theme of our passage I want us to look at today is this, that we are called to follow the star to see the Savior. We are called to follow the star to see the Savior. Three things we'll look at as we walk through this familiar passage. First, we'll see that this Christmas star summons everyone. The Christmas star summons everyone. Secondly, the Christmas star guides the chosen. The Christmas star guides the chosen. And lastly, the Christmas star gives before we give back. The Christmas star gives before we ever give back. First thing we see in the first six verses is the Christmas star summoning one and all. Everyone is called to recognize what this sign is and that it exists up there. The Christmas star was the sign that God used to summon those who live on earth. Over the centuries, both Christians and non-Christians have spent years of research studying these words we read today, trying to find a scientific explanation for this Christmas star. Some have speculated that what the wise men saw was an eclipse. Whatever it was that they saw, it had to have been rare, something that they noticed as something unusual to mark a very rare and special event, the birth of the king from a far off land, and to bother going to find him. Does an eclipse fit the standard for such a remarkable arrival? In most calendar years, there are two lunar eclipses in every year. And in some years, there's one or three. Solar eclipses happen 2 to 5 times every year. Not likely that what they saw was an eclipse. Some have said it, maybe it was an arrival of a comet. Those happen every couple hundred years or so, depending on which ones you're talking about. Others have said maybe it was the alignment of the planets, which are so bright, especially at the early morning, perhaps, or at some point in the night, that they appear to be stars, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and so on. And some had been and were aligned in such a way somewhere in the years around when Jesus may have been born, between 6 and 5 and 4 BC. We know that God could have used any of these particular stars and phenomena if He wanted to. We also know that God could have directed a different star to miraculously appear for just such an occasion, a once-in-the-universe event, the incarnation of the Son of God at Christmas. Regardless of exactly how God did it, we know that He did it, we know that there was a star, and we know that God is in control of the stars. Unlike the so-called experts at museums that my family and I have visited, and you have perhaps visited, about astronomy, they reject that God is in control of the stars. You can open the textbook in an average grade school, high school, or college class, and they will reject that God is in control of the stars. But the truth is still the truth. Psalm 8, verse 3 says, "When I consider your heavens, O Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name." Another psalm, Psalm 148, says, "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." God created these stars. They praise him. They serve him. They served him on Christmas. And they summoned the earth. It was universal. It was for all people. We read that wise men from far off recognized it. Who were these wise men? How many of them were there? We read they brought three different kinds of gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so people have speculated that these were three wise men because of the wealth of the gifts and some other scriptures about people coming to visit somebody that they think maybe even these wise men were kings of Orient. One thing we almost know for sure is that there wasn't three. We don't know how many there were. Best guesses say that normally there was a group of 12 such wise men. We know there was more than one. We don't know how many there were. We also read that not only were these wise men, these Gentiles, these foreigners, these people who didn't grow up learning about Jesus or God, the true God at all, not only did they see the star and recognize something about it and come to find out, but the star was also for those who should have recognized it. It was for those who were called, who grew up in God's covenant people. For where did these guys go, these wise men? They did not go to Bethlehem at first, which is where you would expect them to go. But because the star wasn't around anymore, they saw it one night and it was gone. They went the direction of where it was from, and they went where you figure kings will be born, in the palace, in the capital city. They went to Jerusalem. They were shocked. The Jews were shocked. Herod and all the wise men and the leaders of Israel were shocked. You see, the wise men were not sent there so that they could see Jesus. The wise men were sent to Jerusalem so that the Jews could see the star, could hear that it had happened and realize they missed it. They better wake up. They better pay attention. It's time. God's Messiah is coming. We learn, you see, that God's attempts to evangelize his people, even there, even so early on, the very first couple of months of the life of the Messiah, even those attempts to evangelize the Jews did not meet with joy and positive success. Rather, there was stubbornness, fear, outrage in the heart of Herod in particular, and unbelief. The world was in darkness. Men's and women's hearts were hardened. There was fear. Isn't the coming of the Messiah that we know about, that we've waited about, that we've learned these Bible verses from the Old Testament all about, isn't that a big public thing? How come we don't know about it and these strangers from far away claim to know about it? What's going on? And there was an investigation. They studied the scriptures and they found where this Messiah was supposed to be born. They said in Bethlehem, they quoted this verse. Herod takes all these things to heart and cooks up a little plan, a little scheme. He does his own little private investigation work. He pulls the guys aside and he says, "Okay, now when exactly did you see the star?" And they tell him about how long ago it was. And Herod does the math and he guesses about how old the baby might be. And just to be safe, he says, of course, in a couple verses after this that we didn't read, "Everybody who's 2 years old and under, who's a male child in my whole country, kill him. That'll be sure. I'll be sure to get this one that way." That was Herod's plan. He was not answering the summons in the right way. And how about the Jewish leaders? They were the ones who read the Bible and told Herod where Bethlehem or where Jesus would be born. They didn't care. Why didn't they go to visit? I mean, it's your Messiah after all. Your prophecies, wouldn't you want to go just about, you know, 8 to 10 miles down the road with these wise men to see him? They didn't go along. They had decided, these guys are out to lunch. They had decided, we don't care. They decided right then and there, he's not our Messiah. We don't know what's going on, but this is not our man. We're not going to submit to him. We're not going to receive him. They were not interested in finding out. This was the world into which Jesus lived. A world that had a sign out there, and yet, well, they really weren't interested in that. In fact, they'd work against it. Push off those who are fanatical, crazy ones. Go look for yourself over in that direction. We're going to continue living our way. You see, that's how the fool, throughout all time, has treated Christ. When it comes to a matter of academic knowledge, of quiz show sorts of questions, oh, they can read in the Bible and say, oh yeah, little town of Bethlehem, that's where this man named Jesus of Nazareth was born. You can read about that in the newspaper today. Any article anywhere around the world will say, yeah, Christians are celebrating Christmas today. That doesn't mean the people who are reporting believe in Christ. Some of them do, some of them don't. But when it means to follow Christ, to go to him, well, that's where the rubber meets the road. Religion is a private matter. You believe what you want, I believe what I want. Herod, the religious leaders, they were not interested in this sign because they were not interested in the Savior that the sign pointed to. Just like so many in our world today who are interested in Christmas trees and tinsel, in gifts, in drink and food, but not in Christ, the Christ of Christmas. It is a summons to all around the world. But the second thing we see from Scripture today is that the Christmas star guides the chosen, guides those whom God opens their mind and heart, and God works in their heart and life, has chosen them, and they see and understand. In verse 7 through 10, we see that Herod, he'd secretly called the wise men, he determines from them when the star appeared, and he sends them off. Go search, come and tell me. I want to worship him too. Herod's the biggest hypocrite on earth at that point. Of course he didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to murder him. Just in a couple of years before this, Herod had murdered two of his sons, one of his wives, and a year or two after this, he'd murder another couple of his family members. Anybody who might want to be the next king before he was done being king, he got notice about it, and he put him to death. This was Herod. He was clearly not going to be guided by this Christmas star. But the wise men were. The wise men were. They departed. In verse 9 we read, they hear the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. Again, remember, it had been some time, weeks, perhaps months, since they first saw the star. Now they finally got to Jerusalem. They haven't seen the star. They find out from the experts in Israel where this Messiah is supposed to be born. Now they start on their journey. There it is again. I mean, great things like comets going by. If you don't see it that night, you know, you're not going to see it again for 183 years. It's over. It's past. But with this star, God sends it again. And he guides his people so that they can find exactly where to go in Bethlehem. And they knock on the right door. They go in the right house. It's a miracle of God's love and kindness to them. The Bible is clear. Of course, every human is out there searching for God. We want to be guided. We know that We can't understand things. We need help. But we are called today not to celebrate some sort of holiday tradition at the end of the year, but to see the Savior. Will you see the Savior today? I hope you will. That's why God in His kindness has brought every one of us here today to hear this Christmas star, to be awakened by this sign still happening today, that you might pay attention to it, that I might pay attention to it and make certain that I believe in the Christ that the star points to. Well, the wise men were guided, and we read that they worshipped. They brought these gifts and they worshipped. They bowed before young child Jesus. The Old Testament prophesied that people from outside God's kingdom would do that one day, that God would bring more in. God's kingdom was never just for the Jews. He started His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so that in their descendant, our Lord Jesus, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That's what the Bible said in Genesis 12. This will be the hallmark of Jesus' ministry and of the apostles who preached about Jesus' ministry and applied it to the New Testament church, that salvation would be for both Jew and Gentile, for men and women, boys and girls, people from all nationalities, as many as the Lord our God would call, as many as are elected to faith from all across the planet. Here, at the beginning of Jesus' life, we see this truth, that the Christmas star reminds us God plans to build a kingdom. He wants more people in His kingdom than are in it today. And you know why we know that? Because the Christmas star happened. God's not satisfied with the number of people that belong to Him right now. He sends the star so that others would come in to see the message. And if we cover up that star with all the other things and we don't tell the truth and explain the gospel today, then we're working against Christ. Just like Herod. We're being foolish men rather than wise men. We are called to come to the Savior. This is what the wise men did. They came and worshipped. The last thing we see in our passage, not only does the Christmas star summon everyone on the planet, and then it guides the chosen to come and to worship, but we see that the Christmas star gives before we even have the chance to give back. In verse 11, we see, when these wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you might say, well, I read in that verse, the wise men are giving to Jesus. How come you say that the Christmas star gives before they gave? Well, why was someone in the house in the first place? Why was there a star that brought these guys? They didn't live in Bethlehem. Why did they travel these hundreds, thousands of miles to get there? Because God already gave to the earth and to them His Son, so that there would be someone in that house when they got there, someone worthy of their worship. Jesus had already been born. Jesus had already been provided for by Joseph and Mary during Mary's pregnancy. Through Mary and Joseph's sacrifice and love, Jesus did not need the wise men to worship Him to be secure and happy. He didn't need a new box of diapers to make it through the week. He didn't need gold, frankincense, and myrrh either. But the wise men needed Him. The wise men needed to worship Him. It's the same with us. God doesn't need us, but we need Him. Think of it this way. When you're trying to discover what Christmas gift to get for that person who has everything, it's kind of tough. You might settle on a gift card or some food item, but what do you get for the person who has everything? Well, when God is the one who's your eternal Father, who cares about you every moment of your life, even before you were born, and you think about what can I give to Him, well, that's a real dilemma. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. What can you give to Him that He doesn't already own? He owns it all. And that's why the Christian is told in the New Testament that the only adequate gift for the Christian to give to Jesus is the gift of your entire life. We surrender all to Him I owe. We love Him who first loved us, the Bible says in 1 John. The wise men discovered Jesus was not in the manger anymore. He was in a house. He wasn't a newborn. He was a young child. He'd gotten along fine without them. And yet, they needed him. And so they gave him gifts to show that all of their lives belonged to him. They would worship him from that day forward. On this Christmas morning, where we celebrate the beginning of the story of Jesus' life, there's much more, of course, than just Christmas. This young child in a house with Mary in Bethlehem. Because before long, Jesus gets to Nazareth, which is where he grew up. But at this point, let's not forget the whole rest of the story. The Christmas star, which shone so bright for these wise men, would not be needed one day when the light of the world finished his work. The light of the world has gone to the cross. He's risen from the grave. He's ascended to the throne on high to rule as king right now. That's where Jesus is. And when he comes back in his glory, that ancient Christmas star will be very dim in comparison. The Bible describes that day in Isaiah 60, verse 19 and following. In that day the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God is your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. And the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, so that I may be glorified. This is God's promise. Our Christmas star today and forever is Christ Jesus himself. He lights up our life and our way in the world of darkness. He's given himself for us before we ever give gifts back to him. In Revelation 22, verse 16, Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Christmas star is a true story. A true story. The Christmas star is a sign that flashes and twinkles, that summons us to look at it, to see the Savior, to pay attention, to be guided on our way in life, because God does that for his people. He protected these wise men. The world wanted them to go one way. Herod wanted them to do one thing. The world pulls us one direction, and if we follow it, we will die. But God protected the wise men and had them go back another way. The light of the world does that, still guides us. So many will not look, will not see, will not turn away. They will plot to cover up the Savior, to ignore him. And yet God still guides his chosen ones across miles of desert in the dark. He is our sovereign Savior who first gave himself for us, so that each of us, when we were born into the world, Christmas ought to have already happened long ago. We can't go there to make Christmas happen any more than the wise men didn't go there to make Christmas happen. It had already happened. We cannot help Jesus do his miracles or teach his parables or go to the cross. These things have already happened. We look back to the person of Christmas and the work of Christmas that he did. And we worship him for who he is and what he has done. And the only fitting response left for us is the response of those wise men. When all of a sudden the stars are guiding them again, they rejoice, exceedingly great joy, as with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. May each of us have that kind of joyful Christmas today, because the Christmas star is still shining for us today. This is the good news. It is still shining. It doesn't have to be Christmas Eve. We don't have to be singing O Holy Night or Stille Nacht. The clear word of God shines brightly. God will not allow you and I to live in darkness. In his grace, he still is the light of the world. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh, great God, how we thank you for opening our hearts and our minds today, for awakening us from the numbness of our unbelief, And we pray that you would continue to give us faith and trust in you to see our Savior through the event of this star that pointed people to him so long ago and still points us. Thank you for what you have done before we ever could do anything or deserve anything from you. We pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing now that song, As with Gladness, Men of Old. Hymn 154. We'll also worship God with a special thank offering as well. Hymn 154.